across this big, brown, flat, mysterious, crazy country, Martin.
And today, France is claiming Australians have been won over by their cheeky little nuclear tests in the South Pacific. Are they right? We'll try and find out. We'll also speak exclusively to George Harrison about this new Beatles album you may have heard talk of in the press. We've got a new safety innovation from the Martin Molloy Laboratories, and on the Brown event, your chance to create a spooky backwards message for future pressings of our own Brown album. We'll have more of your ghost stories, giving you the chance to win the unanswered X-File on Radio Gladiators. And our guest today, it's top bloke and superstar Tom Jones. Yes, it's all coming up on the program that's always filled with startling admissions of adultery and bulimia, Martin Molloy. Corona with, is that called the rhythm of the night, Gracie?
I think so.
Yeah, I'm never sure, but welcome aboard, people, for another day of it, another couple of hours of us crapping on. Myself being Tony Martin, and this bloke here, a man who's decided to change his name by deed poll to Mnemonic. He's the co-host of the new Martin Mnemonic, Mickey Mnemonic. Welcome aboard.
That'll be me.
Mnemonic with a P.
You can't even say it, can you?
Mnemonic.
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 Yeah.
Mnemonic.
Well,
what about that?
Let's see if we've worn out the welcome of that word.
You say mnemonic, I say mnemonic.
Let's call the whole thing off. Now, it's Martin Molloy, of course. Mm. And a lot of things to talk about today. But firstly, I must mention the French testing, because we didn't get to that yesterday. And France yesterday declared it was winning over the Australian public after its fourth nuclear test in the South Pacific. And there it was again on the news last night, Mickey. One of my favourite regular spectacles. French Ambassador Dominic Girard being summoned to Parliament House to cop an earful from Gareth Evans, like a rather sheepish schoolboy being called into the headmaster's office because he's been sprung yet again, putting glad rap across the seats and the girls' dunnies or letting off stink bombs in the quadrangle. And when he emerged half an hour later, carefully removing a parasite a K from down the back of his pants, he declared firstly that his dressing down was merely, quote, the same old arguments. What, you know, that old tired nuclear bomb's a bad chestnut.
Yeah. That one.
Aren't we sick of hearing that? That's past its use-by date, isn't it? How about something new, says Dominic? Well, what, he's hoping to arrive at Parliament, have half a dozen Polynesian women plant some of them Hawaiian leis round his neck while Gareth Evans pours a couple of fruit cocktails and invites him poolside for a game of totem tennis and totem tennis, if you prefer.
Tennis.
I'm talking French right here. And what, a couple of, you know, apologies from these. What is he hoping for here? Sorry if we've been boring you, Dominique. I'm sure you've got more important things to do with your time, like ducking from eggs and perfecting that Ned Flanders impression. And listen to what he had to say on the steps of our own Parliament House. Australians are coming round to our way of thinking. France is winning the public relations war. What, we've all grown attached to these nuclear tests, have we? We've come to love the bomb. It's like an old, comfortable pair of slippers. And those tests at Muir, oh, well, you can set your watch by them, can't you? How did we manage before? Yep. And this is as a result of public relations, apparently. What, a series of arrogant pronouncements from an obnoxious Frenchman sneering through his cookie duster as he informs us once again what a bunch of backwater bumpkins we are who just can't see the big picture. Oh, yeah, that's really got Mr. and Mrs. Average Australian singing a couple of verses of La Marseillaise every morning before they tuck into their Weet-Bix.
Hey,
what's he on about, Mickey? Am I getting him wrong?
Take a chill pill, buddy. No, Tony, he's right. I've come round. In fact, to be quite honest, I'm highly embarrassed that I ever took umbrage at what I now consider to be a series of highly productive, sensitive, thoughtful and much-needed tests.
Yeah.
I can't believe we had the gall to protest the action of these happy few in the French government whose sense of altruism, whose vision and decency has extended to detonating nuclear warheads in and around countries populated by peoples other than themselves. It's easy to sit on the sidelines and snipe, but it takes guts to do what they're doing. And what thanks do they get? Nothing. I empathise with a weary Dominic Girard, who's got far better things to do with his time than be hauled into the offices of Gareth Evans to hear once again what he describes as the same old arguments. I mean, sure, You could be forgiven for thinking they're bloody good ones, but I take his point. We haven't come up with any new ones. And obviously, that's what they're waiting for. That's what they need. They've already cut the number of tests from 8 to 6, and if we don't come up with something soon, I wouldn't be surprised if they just packed up their nuclear arsenal and left. We'll be lucky to get those remaining two. And if we don't, we'll only have ourselves to blame. Because we want those tests, don't we? That's what he said. We want those tests. God, I know in an ideal world, well, I'd like to be able to talk them into one a day, but hey, now I know I'm just dreaming. No, Tone, Dominic Giroux hit the nail on the head when he said they're winning the public relations war, and good on them, because it's about time the French won some kind of war somewhere. Once news of this reaches France, they'll be dancing in the streets. The headlines splashed across the front of every paper will be, "The war is over. France wins stunning public relations victory." It'll be a day of national holiday marked every year by a march for those who fought so valiantly and tirelessly in this bloody promotional battle to the death. Finally, the French will be able to build a statue honouring their first ever war hero. Sure, it's probably just some twat from an advertising agency who gave Jacques Chirac a couple of devastating zingers to peel off at a press conference, but hey, lest we forget.
Brown, that's simply red here on Martin Malloy. And Mick, I know people are sick of hearing about the Beatles, aren't they?
Yeah. I for one.
But we do have a very special guest on the line today. And in order to get to him, I'm going to have to say these words. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for a trip to Mick Malloy's Celebrity Corner.
And thank you, one and all. And welcome once again to this very popular segment, Mick's Celebrity Corner. Big hand for Gracie on the piano there. I believe that is a song the Beatles may be covering very soon on their next anthology. Hey, enough of my chit-chat. Let's get down to it. The Beatles Anthology Volume 1 is in the shops now. Volume 2 is on the way with another new single, Real Love. But what about Volume 3, the contents of which are still a secret? We've got someone on the line who may have the answers. George Harrison, can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Mick. Fab gear.
Now, will there be a new Beatles single with John Lennon on the third anthology?
Yes, we hope so. Yoko is supplied us with a newly discovered vocal track by John.
Really? What is it?
I believe it's actually a tape of his answering machine messages, and we're using that as the chorus. And Paul's written a couple of verses. It sounds fab.
And what's it called?
It's called I'm Not In Right Now. I've written the melody. It goes, I'm not in, I'm not in, I'm not in right now. It's totally gay.
Right. So that's the single. How are you going to fill the remainder of the two discs?
Well, we've got quite a few previously unreleased tracks and outtakes. Firstly, a very scratchy recording of the Quarrymen made in one of those do-it-yourself recording booths at the seaside.
What's the song?
Well, there is no song. It's just a 45-second argument. You can hear Paul saying, no, the coin goes in there. John says, I don't think it's working. We've added a string section and a couple of backwards messages. It sounds fab.
Right. What else?
Well, the rest of disc one is basically taken up by 22 further minutes of the chorus from Hey Jude, which we had to cut so that it'd fit on a 45.
And disc two?
Well, that's largely outtakes where Ringo dropped his sticks. We've got a couple of, extra seconds of the run-out groove from Abbey Road. There's a terrific bit where the needle skips for a few seconds. There's an extra half an hour of Helter Skelter. People are looking forward to that. We've got the original version of Revolution Number 9 when it was called Revolution Number 2, but me repeating the phrase Number 2, Number 2, Number 2 was considered too offensive by the censors. There's 16 alternative takes of that really long piano chord from Sgt. Pepper's. And finally, there's a series of tracks which absolutely nobody has ever heard.
Which are?
Those really crap sitar numbers which I used to make the others include on the albums. I don't think anyone's ever heard them. People always skip to the next track.
Well, George Harrison, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
And before you go, we've got a special, a very special message from one Michael Gudinski.
We are going to barnstorm the whole of Christmas and bombard the whole of Australia with Brown albums.
Sorry? Hello? You what?
Family, that's Dana Dawson here on Martin Malloy. With the road toll on the rise, more and more people are opting for cars carrying revolutionary airbags for maximum driver safety. But what about those less fortunate people who don't have a car or can't drive? How can they make life that little bit safer? It's easy. call us here at Martin Molloy and we'll have our experts on your doorstep within the hour to install state-of-the-art nostril bags. Martin Molloy nostril bags will ensure maximum noggin safety, whatever the situation. Ideal for tripping down steps. Falling out of bed. Or just being married to Burt Reynolds.
Why, you...
We installed a pair of Martin Molloy nostril bags in Jason Donovan's nose and put them through an exhaustive series of tests. The results were staggering. Every time Jason made a bit of a goog of himself by going arse over in public, the Martin Molloy nostril bags were deployed on every occasion, successfully breaking the wobbly pop star's fall. Right, Jason? Jason?
Yeah. Oh.
Here's Mick to show us how they work.
Thanks, Tone. Well, I'm down in the Martin Molloy Crash Test Centre with Tim, who's just had his nostrils pulled by our team of experts. Watch in amazement as I punch Tim in the face. Oh, Jesus, sorry, Tim.
No, I'm Tim.
Oh, then who's that?
That's my mum.
Oopsie. Back to you in the studio, Tone.
Now, let's meet someone who's had their nostril bags installed by a less reputable manufacturer.
Hello. My nostril bags are irritating, intrusive, and can severely retard the process of picking up chicks. Even more annoying is their inclination to go off at the slightest movement.
Gesundheit.
Thanks.
So don't go for cheap imitations. Get yourself some Martin Molloy nostril bags. Now available in small, medium, large, and Bill Laurie. Molloy, and a real treat coming up in the next hour, folks, because Tom Jones is going to be on the program. And how's this for an exclusive?
Mm.
And this is an exclusive, because I know everyone's got Tom Jones. But our interview is going to be the only one you will see, read, or hear while he's in Australia where the word underpants won't be mentioned. Yep. Have you noticed as soon as people start talking Tom Jones, they start talking underpants?
And he'd love that, wouldn't he?
And the journos, they just always go for the pants, don't they? Every time. It's like, you know, whenever there's Elle Macpherson, it's storming a teacup. They can't get enough.
Did you see him at the press conference?
Yeah.
You tell, they all wanted to throw their underpants at the press conference.
But you won't hear any of that in our chat with Tom Jones coming up in the next hour. Also in the next hour, another Brown event, which is a competition we've shamelessly fashioned around the release of our own Brown album. And listen to this, people. There it is, the very first Brown off the conveyor belt. And listen, I'll even open it. It's got the little hinge because it's the double CD.
Yeah.
So you open it up and you've got the first CD. And it's got Pretty Brown written on it. And you go, well, that would be enough for most people. And then there's the little double CD secret compartment, and you open it up, and there's another disc with Browner Still. What other album offers you that?
None.
And really? When we say Brown album, it is brown. Like, you haven't seen an album this brown.
It's pretty brown, and it's chockers with material lifted from this program.
Yeah.
And how did you get that in your hot little hand, Tone?
Well, that was delivered to me by a bloke in an armor guard van just earlier.
Was it? It came down on a plane, I believe, from Sydney.
Yeah.
And it was, well, how do you describe it? There was 18 of them in a carry bag.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, how does that compare to the Beatles anthology? You know, they've had them flown in under the cloak of darkness.
There's 200,000 of them.
Convoys coming from the airport. We've got a guy who's probably taken them on his hand luggage and managed to turn up with 18. And that just knocks me. If you got caught with that, you could be in a fair bit of trouble, couldn't you? You could spend the rest of your life in a Turkish prison. If you were caught at customs. So if you walked through that big machine and it went...
With a bag full of browns.
With a bag, and they said, sorry, I'll have to look in there. And there was a bag full of brown. Yeah. You'd have a lot of explaining to do.
And I understand that if you know, it sells all right, they're going to actually stamp out a 19th.
So... All right.
That could be a bonus, but...
That's when we'll be kicking back going, yeah, we made it. We have arrived.
We've gone brown. Okay, well, your chance to bag a copy of the Brown in the next hour on the Brown event, but coming up next, people, Radio Gladiators.
This is...
Yes, it's Martin Molloy, where I think you know what it's time for.
Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory, and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
Now, we did this last week, and we had to turn a lot of people away, so we decided to crank it up again. We're talking ghost stories, actual, true, bona fide, real-life ghost stories. And, Mickey, I had a bit of a spooky experience. Can I tell you about this?
Could you?
Yeah, I'll need the... have we got the music again, Gracie? Yeah.
Is it going to frighten me?
You know, we're only doing this again because we love this music so much, but last night...
Turn the lights down, Gracie.
Yeah.
That's it.
Got the incense lit up. And happened last night. I was actually down in the car park here after the program, and I was just walking towards my car, and suddenly behind me I heard a voice, and the voice said,
"We are going to barnstorm the whole of Christmas and bombard the whole of Australia with brown albums."
And when I turned around, there was nobody there. That's a bit creepy, isn't it? Because I understand M. Gadinsky's still with us, so that really doesn't make sense as a ghost
story. That's pretty frightening. I've got a pretty scary one. I did it for the music. Thanks. Well, I had this dream. I was supposed to be going away on holidays with a couple of my mates.
Yeah.
And we were booked in to go to an island in the South Pacific. And it was the day before we were due to leave, and I had this dream, and it was so clear to me, and it was so real, it was frightening, and the dream was that the plane was going to crash.
Yeah.
So when we got to, I tried to put it out of my mind, and we got to the airport, and there I am with my two mates, and just before we got on the plane, I remembered the dream, and I said, "Guys, do not get on that plane.
Yeah.
Whatever you do, don't get on that plane. I'm not going." And they said, "You're an idiot." And they got on the plane. I did everything I could to stop them. And you have to believe that tone.
Yeah.
I did everything I could. And they got on the plane. Anyway, I got home and, the rest is history.
And what, the plane crashed, did it?
No. They had a great holiday. I got a postcard just the other day.
Oh,
that's pretty spooky, eh?
It's pretty darn spooky. Except I get the feeling that both your story and my story have just been made up for the purposes of, the demonstration.
Because that's what we do, Tony.
But
we're children of the theatre.
But that's not why we're asking you to call up.
No, so forget everything we just said.
So, in fact, today's Gladiator's demonstration has been a complete waste of time.
Like so many others.
Because we don't want made-up ones. We don't want to hear about Salem Malik or Pamela Anderson this time. We want actual real-life ghost stories. And when we did this last week, frankly, it gave me the willies.
It was very creepy. Yeah. I'm only just getting back to my old self now.
And to make it even creepier, listen to this prize. You're in for a copy of The Unanswered X-File, which is, I think we know what it is. It's the next bit of The X-Files. You can see it before it comes on the telly. And by the way, just reminding you again, if you're keen to see it and you haven't got a ghost story and you live in Sydney or Melbourne, Brashers in Elizabeth Street in Melbourne and Brashers in Pitt Street in Sydney are opening the doors at midnight tonight.
How spooky is that?
So get down there with your sleeping bag and you can cop a copy. But if you live in one of the other cities where we're playing, then you can take part in Radio Gladiators and bag yourself a copy and put yourself in the draw for the X-Files jackets. And I know there's a lot of interest been aroused by these jackets. Signed by the stars of the program. Call now with your ghost stories, 1-800-657-657. So, all right, that's Denny Hines here on Martin Malloy. It's Radio Gladiators where, once again, we're trawling the phone lines for bona fide ghost stories. Who's our first spooky contestant, Mickey?
Well, it's Amal. Hello, Amal. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
Not too bad. Ready to be frightened within an inch of my life, though. Have you got something for me?
Yes.
Okay, fire up the spooky music, Gracie.
Okay, I was walking down the street and I heard a voice that told me to turn the corner, turn to my left.
Yeah.
And I looked around to see if anyone was there. And it sounded familiar, but no one was there. So I ended up turning. And lucky I did, because a car sort of came onto the curb and swayed onto the curb and the footpath.
So it would have got you if you hadn't heard the ghostly voice.
Yeah, if I didn't turn, something told me to turn. I heard the voice. So
I was at a dance and I heard a ghostly voice say, "Put your left foot in." So I put my left foot in and then put your right foot in. The next thing I knew, I was shaking it all about. No, it's horrible. I don't want to go on.
Wouldn't it be good if that ghostly voice could say, you know, be a bit more useful? Like, have you ever had that happen to you again?
No, that was the first time and I freaked out.
Because it'd be good if, you know, it could be, you know, say, "Don't buy that, it's fattening. Don't go to that film, it sucks. Don't believe the ads." All right, yeah. Well, that's pretty darn creepy.
A helpful ghost.
Exactly. Thanks for that. But let's see what Westy's got to offer. Are you there, Westy?
Yeah, g'day, fellas.
How are you?
Good, mate.
Hey, Westy, you're not related to the Prime Minister, are you? He's a Westy.
Yeah, he's a champion.
Now, you got a creepy story for us.
Yeah, mate, this is a bit before my time, but I was only a little tacker. I used to have an uncle, and he used to walk to the train station every day and catch a train to work.
Yeah.
And his dog used to go with him every day.
Right.
And wait at the train station there, and the train would go, and then the dog would walk home by himself. And apparently this went on for about, you know, 15 years or something.
Yeah.
And then one day he was coming home in the train, and he had a heart attack and died.
Oh, that's no good.
And pretty much at the same time, the dog got hit by a car and killed going to meet him at the station.
Gee, that's
simultaneously.
Yeah.
It was like they were telepathically connected.
Oh, yeah. Well, maybe he was holding on the lead or something. Who knows, you know?
Listen to this, Westy. Similar thing happened to me and Mick. I was actually doing a stand-up comedy gig in Melbourne at a venue on one side of town.
Spooky music, Westy.
I was dying a death, and by coincidence, Mick was also dying on the other side of town. We had no idea.
That's spooky.
Oh, well, Oda and Doggy are probably in heaven now. Two ghostly figures.
Yeah, well, that's the way it goes.
Yeah, well, good on you, Westy.
Okay, thanks, Westy.
Thanks, mate.
For giving us all the creeps. Good on you. And next we've got Carl. Carl, what's your ghost story?
Right, the story is, myself and my wife moved into my grandmother's house.
Oh, yeah.
And she moved out, and she always hated me riding bikes, especially with my wife on the back. And I collect model bikes. Mm. And the exact same model of the bike I used to own on the display case used to move and fall off the edge. And I used to think it was my wife or something moving it at first, until we actually saw it move about an inch or so that it was away from the edge. We're looking at it, it just fell right off.
Did you think of getting a little model combination padlock for the bike on the mantelpiece? A bit of an idea. And, you know, it's a pity was it your grandma?
Yes.
Yes.
Pity
you couldn't contact her on a regular basis, because you could probably get her to just rearrange the furniture for you. You know, come in and say, I don't know, maybe we should try the couch over there, grandma. Put a few ideas in her head, who knows?
Yeah.
She might be able to do something nice.
Yeah,
with the rumpus room.
And has she got much skill on the bike? Is there a chance of you getting up and just seeing, you know, a ghostly figure doing a few BMX tricks? Is that a possibility?
Oh, I haven't seen her do it so far.
Okay, well, you keep your eyes peeled, Carl.
Yeah.
And thanks for that. And I think we've got time for one final ghost story. Are you there, Helen?
Yeah, I'm there.
Okay, give us the creeps.
Well, in my house, in my bedroom, and, well, I don't know about anywhere else in the house, because I haven't asked. Not really game enough to.
Okay.
But there's a ghost, right? I'm not the first one to see it, and I'm not the only one to see it.
Yeah.
A lot of my friends have. But it's shaped like a cat, right? And the really spooky thing is that this only started happening after my cat Garfield died.
Yeah. So you've got a ghost shaped like a cat.
Mm-hmm.
Are you sure it's not a cat that's just got in? And does it do still, like, what, you come in and see a ghost, what, scratching up the back of the couch?
Coughing up a ghostly furball?
Has it ever taken a ghostly wee on your doona?
No, it's just like a shadow, and you just see a really fast flash of it, and then it's gone.
Oh, right, okay. So it's a near subliminal cat not happening. I think that's illegal, isn't it? Under the broadcasting standards. I tell you what, watch out for this. If you could see, like, you know when the cat's marking the territory and they sort of back up to something with that look of fierce concentration. See if you can spot a ghostly cat doing that. That'd be something.
Oh, I'll try.
Maybe we could get Westy's dog to chase it.
Yeah, so it's a ghostly,
ghostly
kind
dog
of connection agency we're running here.
There we go.
Okay.
We've sorted it out.
We're here to help, but which one's our winner, Mickey?
Well, they're all pretty creepy. They're all pretty, I don't know, basically is the short answer to that. Are you got a fave?
Yeah, well, I think the dog story is
the dog story? Let's go Westy's side. Okay.
Are you there, Westy?
Yeah, betcha, fellas.
Your spooky little story has got you a copy of the unanswered X-Files.
Oh, great stuff.
You follow the X-Files?
Oh, yeah, it's not too bad. Barge ass is a bit better, though.
Well, we're coming out with the unanswered barge ass pretty soon. What's going to
be
on that? Oh, I don't know. Can't give too much away.
Where the
you can have a guess. Yeah, there'll be a lot of silent but deadly questions to answer on that one now. Let's see if we can lift the tone of the program by telling you that you've gone into the draw for the X-Files jacket signed by David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson from the program.
Mate.
And they're the spookiest jackets you're likely to see. Okay, well, that'll be drawn, I think, next Friday here on Martin Molloy. Thanks to all our gladiators today. We'll be back with another round tomorrow, but stick around, people, because after the news, we're going to be talking and there's going to be no mention of underpants with Tom Jones. And in this hour of Martin Molloy, your chance to be a part of the magic of the Brown event. But next up, we're head-to-head with Tom Jones, all thanks to Telstra Mobile Net Digital.
I'll tell you what, I'm going straight back into the studio because I think I've got a... try a little bit harder this time.
Boy, and time to welcome back to the program a bloke who just can't stop going the sing. He popped into the studio yesterday. Our producer pressed play and record simultaneously, and the result was the following conversation with Tom Jones. Tom, thanks for coming in today.
My pleasure.
Now, have you got any idea where you are?
Yes, now I do.
It's Australia.
But we just came from Japan, so... I did 5 shows there. It went very well.
Right. How many shows have you done this year?
Over 200 already.
Right.
Yeah, we're going to be... I think by the end of the year, it'll be about 250.
Ready for a holiday?
Yeah, I always take Christmas off.
Now, we've read somewhere that you've actually played this year at Bruce Willis's birthday party. Is that correct?
Yes.
Is that a tough crowd?
No. It was great, actually, because it was up at in Utah, where they live now. Mm. Where Bruce and Demi, they bought a lot of property up there because they want their children to go to school there.
They bought Utah, didn't they?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. But they're a bit frightened of L.A. with the kids, you know, going to school. So
he didn't try and sing with you, did he, Tom?
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Oh, no.
He did, yeah.
And how did that go?
Well, it went well.
Did he have a lot of black backing vocalists like he usually does so you can't hear him in the mix? That's his usual trick.
No, it was my band.
Okay.
And I've got 3 singers with me, so... So we covered pretty good.
Right. Very diplomatic. But it was pretty rude from Bruce, though. I mean, that's like you going up and saying, "Hi, do you mind if I star in the next Die Hard film?"
That's right, exactly.
You know? Now, you mentioned your band. What kind of band leader are you, Tom? Do you crack the whip?
No, I don't have to. I mean, the drummer is in the States, because I use an American band in the States.
Right.
Same lineup, but the band I've got here in Australia now is a British band.
Oh.
And the bass player is the leader of this band, but it's 8 musicians and 3 singers and myself, so there's like 12 of us on stage, and it's a great band. This band is really something, this British band. They're really hard-hitting band, you know, so I don't, you know, they know what I want. They know...
Were they all up last night watching the Princess Diana interview?
No, I missed that.
Did you?
I was...
Your name came up a couple of times, Tom.
Yeah?
Yes.
Well, you know, we are good friends.
Yeah, I think you've got some explaining to do when you get home.
Now, how long have you been married, Tom Jones? You've been married for 38 years.
Yeah, got married when I was 16 years old. And my wife was 16 as well.
Right. And from what I've read, she obviously doesn't follow you around the world.
No.
What happens? I mean, does she just call you up and say, "What are you up to?" I mean, what kind of relationship is that?
Where are you?
Yeah, where are you, first of all? No. First of all, she doesn't call me.
Right.
I call her.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But she's in Wales at the moment because I got a house in Wales.
Mm.
So she's there with family because we've got a lot of family there as well.
Right.
So she's happy. When I'm on the road, she likes to be in Wales with her sister.
Does she ever say, "When are you going to just settle down and grow up, Tom Jones?"
That's right. I used to say when I first started off in the 60s, you know, and I was touring a lot like I still am. Mm. And I said, one of these days I'm gonna slow down and I'm going to have more time. To spend with you. So every year she says, "When is this slowing down thing going to kick in?" And I said, "Well, to be honest, I don't think it ever will do until I actually stop, you know, for good, and then retire." But that's a long way off, hopefully.
And until you're sort of wandering around the stage looking for those auto cues, Frank Sinatra.
Exactly, yeah, you know. I mean, I wouldn't... Hopefully I'll realise that that it's over before then.
Right, okay.
But I think my voice would tell me that. When I can't sing as well... Then I won't want to do it anymore. I hope I won't anyway.
Yeah, when you wake up one morning and you have a bit of a sing and you go, "Oh God, I'm Bruce Willis."
Exactly.
That's your chance to retire.
You got it, yeah. When you think you're somebody else, that's over.
Now, can you stick around for one more break, Tom?
Sure.
You know, while we're playing a couple of songs, you could probably whip out and do a concert.
Yeah, right.
And we'll be back in a moment with Tom Jones here on Martin Molloy. That's Loaf, Meat, talking porkies right here on
Martin Molloy.
And Tom Jones is still with us on the panel. Tom, we read an article in the paper the other day that you might be playing yourself
in a film by Tim Burton.
Yeah.
How does that work? What's it all?
Well, it is, he wrote this script called Mars Attacks. It's about Martians
right.
attacking.
Right, Tim Burton, of course, the Batman guy, and Edward Scissorhands, etc.
Yeah,
and where do you fit Christmas. Into it?
Well, it's he explained it. The Martians are actually animated, and then everybody else, all the Earth people, are real people.
Right.
So they they land just outside of Las Vegas.
Uh-huh.
And he filmed there was a hotel that they just blew up in Vegas, the Landmark.
Right.
And he filmed that because. It's going to be in the movie, sort of like when the... Because the Martians start to sort of point their ray guns at these hotels and they sort of disappear. So when they hit the Landmark, you'll actually see it fall down because...
Right. Now, when he called you with this idea, did he sound drunk at all?
No. He's a fan of mine. That's why he used the three songs in Edward Scissorhands.
That's right. And, yeah, that's right.
With these hands. Yeah, yeah. And Delilah, and It's Not Unusual. So he came to see some of my shows and asked me what I... you know what I like to do this, so I read the script and it's good. It's a bit of an acting part. I mean, I'll play myself, but I've got to sort of save the day
and
fight a few Martians and.
So you are stepping into Bruce Willis's shoes in a way.
A little bit, yeah.
You a bit of stunt work.
A little bit, yeah. But not,
watch him like a hawk. If he starts coming at you with some of that Beetlejuice makeup, just say hey.
I got to
hey,
be careful. Yeah, that's right.
Now, here's another bit of trivia I've got on my tiny bit of information sheet here about Tom Jones. You actually own an old house that used to belong to Dean Martin. Is that right, Tom?
Yes.
And what's that, like bottles everywhere?
Well, yeah. when I bought it off him in his act then, he used to say, Tom Jones has, you know, has bought my house.
Right.
And I've left wine in the cellar that's older than him, you know. So I said, but he was lying because he didn't leave any in there.
Have you found anything unusual around the house?
No. He was.
Do you ever get drunken members of the Rat Pack banging on the door, not realizing he's moved?
But it was. It's a funny story, and I've only just thought of this now, but it's. Because you've asked me this.
Sorry.
Was there anything weird around there? There's a window each side of the bed in the master that he didn't know was there. Were there.
Uh-huh.
You know, we opened the curtains one day and he said, oh my God, there are windows there. I didn't know that. Really? He must have kept the bloody drapes closed all the time.
I don't think you can talk either, Tom, because I read somewhere that basically you're having brekkie about 4 p.m. in the Arvo these
days. That's right.
Is that true?
Exactly.
Is that the way a gentleman of your age and distinction should be behaving?
Well, that's the way I behave anyway. So.
Is it? That's about the average, is it?
Yeah, because I'm a late person, and especially when I'm doing shows, you see, because time you get to a restaurant, keep a restaurant open, it goes on until about 4 or 5 in the morning, so I never get up, you know, until the afternoon.
But you look pretty fit. You're out, you're jogging.
Yeah, I run then. I run in the afternoon.
You run?
Yeah.
You ever get chased? That'd be pretty funny, wouldn't it? Fantastic. You'd turn into one of those Benny Hill sequences. Tom Jones out in front.
Yeah, that wouldn't be bad. I mean, the birds that Benny Hill used to have on the show, they were looking pretty good.
Absolutely. Now, I've got one more Tom Jones anecdote story here. I read about this one. Apparently, when you were touring around in the 60s, the police used to film your tour just in case you were doing anything too raunchy. Is that true?
Well, that happened in early 66 when I first came to Australia in Sydney.
Oh, here!
The first engagement was in Sydney.
Mm.
And we did a few shows there. I came over with Herman's Hermits.
Mm.
And the chief of police came up to me and he says, you know, we think that your act is too raunchy. And I said, well, you know, I've been doing it in Britain for a while, and I haven't any complaints. And so they filmed the show.
Yeah.
And they said, well, what, you know, what exactly, you know, what move am I doing that you don't like? And there was a dance out called The Jerk at the time.
Oh, yeah.
He said, what the hell are you doing? I said, I'm doing The Jerk. He said, you know, you're not taking a piss out of me, are you? I said, no, I'm not calling you a jerk. That's the dance. It's called The Jerk. So, but they filmed it, and then they couldn't really pinpoint anything that...
they took it down to forensic analysis.
Really. I mean, they really did. They said, if we feel that this is too raunchy, then we'll stop the tour. You won't be able to go on any further.
What's Tim Burton doing, filming his own? Just get his hands on that.
Exactly.
Yeah. He's got Tom Jones doing The Jerk. If that's not going to open in widescreen across the country, I don't know what is. Well, all the best on your Australian tour.
Thank you.
And will you be doing The Jerk in any of these shows?
No, not The Jerk. That's one of those old dances now that I don't do anymore.
It's one of the forbidden dances.
Yeah, it's one of those. Just in case the chief of police shows up again.
Okay. Well, I hope you don't get into too much trouble, and thanks for talking to us today.
Thank you.
And we'll be back with more in a moment on Martin Malloy. I want that man here on Martin Malloy. Thanks very much to Tom Jones for dropping by. Mm. And Tom's big tour, I think, kicks off tonight in Melbourne.
Absolutely.
Still a few seats left, not too many. Mm. But
snaffle them.
Yeah, get down there. And also, I think he's going around the rest of the country, clearly. I'm not sure of the state of play with the ticket sales, but check your papers and give someone a bell. And also, if you're keen to get a copy of The Lead and How to Swing It, which, of course, was Tom's last album, there's a new version out, which has got a whole lot of live stuff as well. Like, he's copied the Brown album, basically. Mm. He's got the extra CD in this.
Like so many others.
Little secret compartment with him doing, I think he does Unbelievable. You know, is that EMF? Unbelievable. He does that and possibly, I think he does a few Nine Inch Nails numbers and, a bit of that kind of stuff.
Everyone's doing the sneaky stuff on the CDs these days, aren't they?
Butthole Surfers, I think he covers. He'll cover anybody, that Tom Jones. Right. If he can belt the tune out, he'll give it a go.
Absolutely.
Now, I'm just looking at my watch. What is the time?
It's time for the Brown Event Round Off.
You've come to the right place, Pete Smith. Now, today, on the Brown Event, we're talking backwards messages, because I don't know if you've had a close listen to this new Beatles single, Free as a Bird, but right at the very, very end, just as it's fading out, they've got a little bit of a message. Here's what it sounds like if you play it normally. So did you hear that? A bit of kind of scouse talk there. What does it say?
It's very spooky.
I'm not wondering if we play it backwards, that's going to be Michael Gudinski saying that phrase again. But Gracie, just flip the tape over, and here's what it sounds like backwards. And our phrase again. Did you make that out, Mickey?
Yeah, could we maybe
one more time?
It turned out nice again.
It's turned out nice again, which is an old catchphrase from an old comic. George Formby,
Formby, one of those likely old lads.
Yeah, right. Yeah, go blimey.
No, I love it up north.
Who do you think you are kidding? Mr. Hitler.
That's him.
I've got a lovely bunch of coconuts.
Did you know? Oh, I've got Michael Caine.
Now, when someone goes Michael Caine on the program, it's usually time for us to sign off.
Get away with it in the Brown Event.
What we want is a backwards message for our own Brown album, because we don't have one. And obviously it's too late to put it on the first pressing. Those first 18 that have been stamped out don't have the backwards message. But we'll do our level best, if we like your backwards message, to get it onto the next batch of Browns.
How about that?
So I think it's up to us to provide a couple of examples.
Ooh.
And basically it can be anything, as long as it's enigmatic. Mm. That's the key with that. I'll just have a go at one, Gracie. Here we go.
Martin Malloy. The fresh food people.
See, there's one right there. Yeah, enigmatic, mystifying.
Can I have a go? Don't join the Boy Scouts. Join the Brownies. How about that? That'd be good on the back of the Brown album, wouldn't it?
Does it have to be Brown related?
Well, now we've got to have a think tank. Amuse yourselves for a minute. Kids, what do you think, Gracie? Are you up to...
Well, why not?
What do you think? Should it be Brown? Probably should be.
Yeah, probably should be.
Yeah, let's go with Brown.
Okay.
Some Brown.
Call us with your Brown backwards messages for the Brown album now on 1-800-657-657. It's Martin Malloy, the proud home of the Brown Event. Now, today we're talking backwards messages, because it seems you've got to have a secret, spooky backwards message on your album. These days. So we're looking for one for the Brown album. Obviously, it's too late to get it on the first pressing, but we'll try and sneak it onto the next pressing if there is one.
Dream on.
Yeah. Now, what is a backwards message, you might be wondering? Mm-hmm. People are just joining us. Here's an example of one here. See, that's a spooky backwards.
Right.
I think people are probably a couple of jumps ahead of us on this one, but here's what it sounds like for us.
We are going to barnstorm the whole of Christmas and bombard the whole of Australia with Brown albums.
Okay, now, we can amuse ourselves if nobody else on this show. Now, Mickey, who have we got on the line?
Okay, we've got Justin on the line. G'day, Justin.
How you going?
Good, mate. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad.
All right. Now, you've got an idea for us to run a message, to run backwards on our album. Here comes your message now. Give us a go.
Yeah, I've got an old favourite, How Now, Brown Cow.
Oh, right.
How now, brown cow.
How now, brown cow.
Can I do a second one?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
We've got
okay
got... Wait till we... Yep, there you go.
Okay, you got the quick brown Martin jumped over the lazy Malloy.
Hang on a second. Oop. Don't know if I enjoy how I came out of that one.
But I'm pretty darn happy.
What
so
do you do for a living, Justin? Surprise, you got time to talk to us on the phone. You'd be a busy little beaver yourself, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah, I am.
All right. I think we'll move on to... Who's next, Mickey?
I'm hurt. I'm on the record, aren't I? My backwards message will be Justin's an arsehole. That'll be my backwards message on the Brown album.
We're just looking for Brown messages, Mickey. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure he didn't mean it personally.
All right. No, I apologise. We've made up now.
He knew you were in here early this morning at about 6:30, crafting away on the...
Is he still there?
I should apologise.
George Harrison. Justin, are you there? Justin?
Yeah, I'm here.
Sorry, mate, for those harsh words.
No, that's okay.
Are you buddies again? Good on you, buddy.
Well, a very special moment here on the Brown event. Let's have another one. We got any more messages, Mick?
Yeah, let's go to James. Hello, James.
Oh, James.
James.
Hello.
How are you?
Oh, not bad.
That's the way. Okay, you ready to let fly with your backwards message?
Oh, yeah. It's a bit of a takeoff on the old X-Files of the truth is out there.
Okay, and it is?
The Brown is out there.
Oh, the Brown is out there. Yeah.
Is that mystical? It's not really mystical once you've got Brown in there, is it?
Yeah, but it's given me the creeps, so I think it's still in the running. All not right bad. Who's next?
Dave.
Dave, are you there? Dave?
Hello, Dave.
Well, it looks like Dave is our first lost caller here on the Brown event. And we've taken our hats off in his memory. Who have we got, Mickey?
Let's give Kim a go. Hello, Kim.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm really good.
That's the way. All right, you ready to fire up with your Brown message?
Yep.
Your backwards message?
Yep.
Okay, here we go.
Brown. Browner. Brownest. Martin and Malloy are the best. The radio announcers John West rejects. That's all.
What happened at the end there?
What?
It sounded like you
giggled.
Went a bit Jason Donovan.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Faded out.
We thought you were having an asthma attack for a moment.
That was okay. A very witty ditty, Kim.
And it rhymes, too. So, you know, that's always points.
Thoughtful contribution. Let's move on. Don. Hello.
Don.
Don.
Oh, well, we're going to have to call the bugler again, yes.
Yeah, I'm in now.
There he goes.
Where the hell have you been, Don?
Just about
just
to pull a slam
in the
over
background.
All right. Now, you've had time to come up with, probably an incredible witticism, a little bombo
run at us backwards. So let's have a listen to it. Take it away, Don.
Is Brown is good.
Oh, yes.
I'm warming to that.
So you're thinking Brown album, and you're also hankering for a bit of salami at the same time.
Maybe a bit of Brown salami. Okay, not
or
bad.
Or brainwashing.
Yeah, all right. Good on you, Don.
That's our job. So who have we got next?
Hopefully this will be our last. I think it might be Peter. Have we got Peter there? Peter?
Yeah, g'day, boys.
Hey, okay. Peter, how are you?
Oh, good, thanks.
Now, get yourself ready. We're going to give you the spooky music, and you give us your backwards message. Here we go. Oh, it's not an impression of Brian Brown in Gorillas in the Mist, is it?
No, just keeping with the Beatles tradition, we all live in a brown submarine.
Oh, is that our winner today?
That could be a winner.
Yes, I think we all live in a brown submarine has taken the brown cake. And you've got a copy of the Brown album.
Oh, terrific.
And, Peter, you've gone into the draw for the trip to Noumea.
Oh, lovely.
That's you and some... Who will you take if you win on that one? Who will you take?
I'll better take the fiancé.
Oh, yes. Yeah, it's probably a good idea.
Better keep her happy.
Okay. Right. Good on you.
There's a man who knows how to live.
That'll be drawn next Friday right here on the Brown event on Martin Malloy. And thanks to everybody who presented a creepy backwards message.
We're and those who didn't.
Yeah. I think the one that didn't, that's the one that's on at the moment. So really, that's a winner right there.
Okey-dokey.
And we'll be back with another event at the same time tomorrow here on Martin Malloy.
If
I Were You, that's K.D. Lang here on Martin Malloy, and I think we got a suitable Brown backwards message out of Peter there. I think that's going to be spooking people up for years.
We'll live in a brown submarine.
Absolutely. Now, let's talk dentistry, because I know, Mick, you haven't really recovered entirely from your experience at the dentist's earlier in the week.
And back again this morning.
Oh, really? Is that right? Yeah. Because I recently had to go to the dentist and, wasn't pretty. Well, firstly, my dentist was on holiday, so I had to go to my dentist's dentist. How's that? So, in fact, he would be my dentist-in-law, when you think about it, really. And it was pretty ugly. I had to have the root canal work. Have you ever had the root canal work?
No.
It's basically, it's when they get an x-ray and he just holds it up and he goes, right, well, as you can see, Mr. Martin, we've got rid of that $3,000 and... but over here, I think there's still some money left in this account. We're going to have to flush that out completely. We'll have to get you back for a series of flushings.
Oh, yeah.
But pretty darn painful. Pretty darn expensive, but, you know, happy ending in the end. That's the thing about the dentistry. At the end of the day, you're looking like the Osmonds.
If you,
you know, if it all comes out right.
And that's where you go.
Yeah, yeah.
To look more like the Osmonds.
And what about you?
Well, I went earlier in the week, and I've had to go back again today because I've got a fresh problem, and I can't get into the usual guy I go to.
Yeah.
So I've gone to this other guy, the dentist, and, you know, because I thought it was time, you know. I mean, I can put up with the gums bleeding.
Yeah.
But when you sneeze and your teeth start flying around the room like so much shrapnel, yeah, it's time to attend.
It's a conversation starter, but it's not quite right.
It is. So I've gone to this new guy, and to tell you the truth, I'm not entirely sure about it. Can I describe it to you? I walk in. There's pictures of nude women on the walls.
Yeah.
The technician's wearing a boob tube and sitting on the stool with a drill in his hand is a big fat bloke with a beard and about 3 inches of bum crap poking out the back of his jeans. I'm not lying, Tone. I wasn't sure if I'd walked into a dentist surgery or a tattoo parlour.
So he's a craftsman.
Yeah, absolutely. He goes, take a seat. I'll be with you in a minute. I take a look at the guy in the chair and sure, there's little O's coming out of his mouth, but there's also the word fish and chips printed across his forehead. I'm thinking to myself, great, when he's finished filling that molar, I'll drop the Dax and get him to do a quick snake round a dagger on my backside. Anyway, that's fine to there. I'm thinking, well, this is dubious. The only the heartening thing was when I actually got into the chair and I looked on the roof, there were pictures of Pamela Anderson, which is fine because normally, and this is the thing that bothers me most about going to the dentist, they usually persist with putting those like mystifying fingerprints or finger paintings from, you know, like a 5-year-old precocious kitty who needs a good clip in the ear. And why do they do that?
That's to distract you, I think.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it just dentists? I mean, you don't see, I don't get in a cab and see the cab driver driving along and you go, oh, by the way, have a look at the roof. You know, sure, he'll tell me all about his kids, but he doesn't go to the trouble of doing it. What do the dentists think they're doing? Is that a time-honored tradition? Does that happen at your dentist?
My dentist has seriously asked me whether I think it's a good idea if he played old WWF wrestling bouts on a telly, set in the ceiling.
On a telly? Serious. That would be good. Anything apart from these finger paintings, which, I don't know what's more annoying, the guy's got a live drill in my mouth, sometimes coming up through the neck. Right, now don't mind that. I'm going to give him local anaesthetic, knock me out so I don't have to look at that all the time. I've got a message from my dentist. If you want to have a good look, if you don't watch yourself and you want to have a good look at your children's finger paintings, well, best you start nailing them to the roof of your coffin.
And Mick, we were playing that thing before, the Martin and Malloy Enhanced Hair Studios, whatever that was all about, and Gracie, our producer here, was talking about Greg Matthews, because, of course, we've had a lot of fun at Greg's expense over the year. And
a lot of banter.
And his hair job, but you know what? Our producer, Gracie, saw him on telly the other night, and he reckons that Greg may have had a bit of a beard job.
Beard job?
He thinks he might be wearing a phony beard.
From the Advanced Beard Studios?
The Advanced Beard Studios. Is that a service they provide? You can go down if you can't grow a proper beard.
What was he doing on it, Gracie? What was he doing?
Just talking, but I don't know if it slipped or not.
Yeah, right, so you didn't see him on a jet ski in it. I'll wait until he's been thrown over his head by a karate expert before I give the nod to that beard.
And can you go down to the beard studios and just say, I'll have a bit of a hinch?
I'll have a Martin St. James.
A bit of a spooky pointy job. Or if you're feeling really adventurous, I'll have me one of those really stupid-looking Bob Geldof exploding cigar jobs.
They just go to the trick shop for one of those.
Advanced beard.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yes, well, it worked in rehearsals.
We'll stay back after the show,
as we so often do, but we must sign off. Thanks to our guests, Tom Jones, George Harrison, and all our gladiators and brownies, of course. Tomorrow, we'll be raking through the events of the week with our old buddy, Steve Bedwell. But until then, remember, if you can't say something intelligent, come talk to us.